Welcome to Happily Ever After is just the beginning. Keeping your relationship not just together, but happy, and we mean truly happy, is part art and part science. You've come to the right place. Here's your host, Leslie Dorries.
You know, whether you want to believe it or not, romance is big business. If you think about the wonderful world built by Disney princesses, the well-known wedding industrial complex that wants you to have everything your little heart desires on your magical day, or even the smash hit that poorly written 50 Shades of Grey became, you're talking about real money. Not to mention every single woman's magazine has I don't know how many articles about romance and falling in love, and all the dating websites that are out there. Add in the flowers, candy, perfume, jewelry, fine dining that are required on Valentine's Day, and the bucks keep flowing. The problem with most of this focus on romance is that very little of it reflects reality. And only recently have the Disney stories started to include characters that don't live happily ever after as part of a couple. And if you've been listening to my show for any length of time, you know that one of the questions that I have is for those little princesses who do go off to live happily ever after, how do they do it? Nobody ever tells you that. So joining me today to talk about why a dose of reality in a relationship is better than a fairy tale is Sammy Jenkins. She's an MFA student in screenwriting at UC Riverside at Palm Desert, and she's also the advice columnist for the Good Men Project's weekly column, Dating in the Digital Age with Sammy Jenkins. Her recent article, Why I Don't Want a Fairy Tale Romance, addressed what many women who grew up on Disney videos must confront if they really want to have a healthy relationship. So, Sammy, thank you so much for joining me.
Oh, thank you for having me.
So, like I said, I read this article, and I said, okay, I got to get Sammy on the show. Because one of the first things you say in this article is that you decided that you wanted Mr. Real instead of Prince Charming. So how did you come to that conclusion?
First, through a series of really bad dating experiences.
Haven't we all had those?
I must admit, I did grow up on the Disney movies, and every little girl generally does want to be the princess, although when it did come around to Halloween time when I was little, all the princess costumes, you were tutus, and I was not going there. I was fine with the ball gown, but not so much the tutu. I guess through this series of bad dates, I realized that part of it was I was not being my authentic self. I was trying to kind of fit into whatever category I felt that the person that I was out with would want, to create the perfect situation that you see on TV. And I felt uncomfortable. I felt unhappy. And then it kind of be like this slow reveal of who I really was and waiting for the person to not want that and invariably reject me. It was kind of through that and knowing that I wanted to be able to be my real self, that I realized that what I was looking for was somebody equally as authentic and real.
Well, and I'm so glad that you brought that up, because I see this all the time. And I will own that when I was 19, 20 years old, I did exactly the same thing. It's wanting to, I mean, I even switched majors in college because I thought that the guy I was with would love me more if I did. So, I mean, this idea of trying to mold ourselves into somebody else, I find that a lot of women do that. Do you think men struggle with that too, or do you think they're like, yeah, no, we can just be whoever we want to be, and the women will just kind of mold themselves to us?
Oh, I think that there are men that definitely struggle with it. I've written a couple pieces actually on men and body image, And mm-hmm. a lot of things that men are facing in dealing with body image are things that aren't changeable, whether it be balding or height. I see a lot of people requesting on online dating that men be of a certain height to go out with them. So I think that they're feeling pressure maybe in a different sort of way, or maybe to be, I think there's still that pressure to be the provider. So it's still there. And I think the overwhelming pressure that women are facing, it funnels into the dating world for men as well, of what's expected of them.
Right. And, you know, and my children grew up with the Disney princesses. I grew up with the old, very disturbing Grimm's fairy tales and where they chopped off body parts. And it's like, oh my gosh. But, you know, but this whole idea, and I don't want to go back there. I mean, I really don't want to go back to the early days when men and women had defined roles. But on some level, I think we're all still trying to figure out, what does it mean to be authentic? You talked about you wanting to be authentic and wanting to be with somebody who's authentic, but how do you even know what that is?
Well, for me personally, I'm not the most graceful being. I wish I was. I'm exceedingly clumsy.
Hence the not wanting to wear tutus, right?
Yeah. I'm exceedingly clumsy. I'm not a fan of high heels because of the clumsy factor. Like, I really just would like to not break an ankle. But beyond that, I've dealt with various health issues. So that's been one of the things in dating, that mm-hmm. when do you bring that up? Like, who can handle that? Is that hideable? Because you wouldn't know in looking at me that I have health issues. So that learning to feel comfortable with those things. Everybody has their own little strange quirks. and those are things that, you know, you let out to close friends. Like, maybe at times you go on and on about a certain topic that if you are on, you know, date five, you might get a little nervous if you went to that territory. But I think it's actually the dating foundations and relationships where you aren't holding back and you feel comfortable maybe right off the bat or close to right off the bat of discussing mm-hmm. whatever. And it's okay if you spill on yourself. It's not the end of the world. It's not, you don't feel another person's out there, you know, judging you. I think those are the foundations that are stronger built. If you just feel comfortable yourself, but that takes obviously work on yourself to begin with. So that's
right.
Important.
And dating. And Prince Charming isn't going to come along and sweep you off your feet and make everything better, because in the morning you still wake up and it's you you're staring at in the mirror.
Exactly. And I think it's so important, too, that we have friends, we're social, and for men as well. I recently read an article that men have way fewer friends as they age, and I think it's really important in a relationship. And in the movies, you see that, you know, at the end, it's just him and her, or whichever mm-hmm. couple at the end, and they live happily ever after, and there's no friends, there's no social support. And I think to just depend on one other person in providing all of your happiness is completely unrealistic.
Well, and it's also high pressure. I've had female clients, women clients who feel that pressure, like, you know, without me, he's got no social life and I'm tired of arranging everything. But, you know, one of the things that I noticed, and I don't know, maybe you can speak about this from the writers and being in Hollywood perspective, is we don't necessarily see men bonding other than in war movies, you know, or maybe, you know, they're good friends with their brother or a friend that they've known since they were, you know, three. But you don't see older men making new friendships.
I would agree that you don't see a lot of older friendships. You see a lot of the younger 20-something buddy comedies.
Mm-hmm.
Those are definitely
the hangover.
Sure. And they're always seemingly getting in some kind of trouble. But no, you're not seeing a lot of that. So hopefully that's something. Another thing that I recently read was that you're not seeing when I was younger, we had like Boy Meets World, which was a great show that showed like, you know, young kids growing through young adulthood, boy friendships. And there just isn't TV like that anymore, even from like the boy level. So they're not seeing that as young kids growing up.
Well, and, you know, speaking of TV and talking about this, you know, what used to be on TV, and, you know, I can go back and talk about all the great shows of my heyday. But now, you know, it's really distressing. A lot of these reality shows where I'm not seeing that there's very good examples of healthy relationships.
I can completely agree with you there. I must admit, I am a fan of The Bachelor and all of its spinoffs. I've contemplated the hilarity of how it would be to bring like a rose to a date and just set it on the table there. I always assumed that he would then probably get up and leave.
Well, one, if he even knew what the rose meant, but okay.
This is true. I watch it because it's so manipulated. It's so, you have your cast of characters. You have the villain. You have the nice girl next door. And it's just really interesting who they're bringing on each season. But absolutely, I made a joke on Twitter, I think from last season's Bachelorette. They said they were going to end up forever, together forever. And they broke up 3 months later. And I said, now at least we have that quantifiable number that forever really means 3 months.
3 months. Well, but that's also part of the issue, because now I generally don't watch reality shows. It's sort of like watching my job, you know. So I tend not to do that. But, you know, it is a little bit distressing because it's all compacted and people don't necessarily act like that in real life, but then if it isn't going the way The Bachelor or The Bachelorette or whatever, you know, reality show people are watching these days, then they think there's something wrong.
Absolutely. And things that people aren't thinking about is it's a very condensed time frame. So these people are spending gratuitous hours together that in real life you're not spending that with somebody you're just starting to get to know. They're going on these extreme luxury dates that very, very few limited people, I'm assuming, in the world are able to ever afford to be able to do. So they're even throwing them into unique situations that it's just not true to life. And at the end of the day, they have story editors. So they're even taking the footage they have and they're framing it in a way, and they're writing, you know, how they want the story to play out on the screen. They're, like I said, casting characters.
Right.
And I think that turns into a definite disappointment when people are growing up thinking that that's the reality of it all. And I think that creates a lot of disillusionment, particularly for my generation when they're seeing things like that and expecting that out of each other. I mean, I think it's hilarious how many times people say they're falling in love on The Bachelor. How many people can fall in love like that quickly? I think that they've kind of almost redefined for themselves what that is supposed to be, and it's not real, genuine love. And that's unfortunate that's what's being permeated.
Well, and I think you actually say this in the article that you wrote, that you say there's beauty in realness. And can you talk a little bit about what you mean by that, and especially as it let's just go there. Can you talk about what you mean by there being beauty in realness?
Sure. I think that some of the best moments that I've had, I'll go with friend love, have been out of circumstances that maybe aren't the easiest. It's how you get through the more challenging times that I think really define a relationship, whether it's romantic or friendship. And I think that there's a really unique bonding that comes through those times. And I think in dating, it's when you hit those real points in life that you, it's inescapable. I mean, it's not, you might have those chemicals flowing through your body to start with at the beginning of a relationship, but at some point something's going to happen. What if your partner loses their job or your partner becomes ill? And it's how you deal with that and come off to the other side that I think really transforms a relationship. And I think that that's where there's moments of beauty, is in those challenges.
Well, and I can't agree with you more. And it's interesting that we don't necessarily pick our romantic partners the way we pick our friends. I mean, a lot of times we'll stay with somebody because we're in love, or because on they look good, they're the Prince Charming of this world, but they actually aren't good matches for us. And most of us will eventually stop friendships if they're not based in some sort of real connection. But we tend to continue longer, I think, with our romantic relationships.
I think I definitely agree with you there. That's something that I very much used to do. I think that is a big thing in evaluating my dating history and why things were going wrong and the way they were. And it was, like I said, it was very challenging with me having health issues and a lot of nonfiction narratives that you'll read by people that do have health issues when it comes to dating, they'll just feel lucky that anybody wants to pay attention to them, which is unfortunate. But I don't connect very easily with other people. I'm very introverted. I'm a writer behind my screen. But I look for those like deep connections with other people. So initially when I started dating, I was like, let's find the cute guy that wants to pay attention to me. And obviously attraction is an important factor, and being attracted to the person that you're with is important. But I, like I said, I like the real, and I look for that deep connection or that deep friendship just as much as attraction. That plays an important role to me. I think that if people evaluate their dating lives that way, things might be a little bit different.
This is Happily Ever After is Just the Beginning on webtalkradio.net. I'm Leslie Dorries, and I'm having a wonderful conversation with Sammy Jenkins, screenwriting student and dating columnist for the Good Men Project, about the benefits of dating a real guy instead of a fairy tale prince. And before we continue, though, I want to ask if you are struggling letting go of your romantic fantasies about what happily ever after is supposed to look like. If so, I might be able to help. Take a moment and send me an email or give me a call to set up your free, no-obligation strategy session. We can talk about what you can do to create a realistic but yet successful and happy relationship. So you can reach me at Leslie, L-E-S-L-I, at foundationscoachingnc.com. That's FOUNDATIONS coachingnc.com. Or you can call me at 919-924-0463. And getting back to this conversation, you just said something that you had talked about in the article as well, about connecting on a deeper level, spending some time actually getting to know somebody, and of course the attraction is important. We don't want to, you know, that is a part of the romantic relationship. But why do you think it is that we can't have interesting, deep conversations about what matters as part of a fairy tale?
That's interesting. I think that's something that's never been, if you're going through the fairy tale portrayals of how things have been portrayed, a Disneyfied version, I guess, it hasn't happened. Not saying that it can't. I don't know that people would go watch that movie. That would be very interesting, even if it was a rom-com. I'm really curious if people, they like that to watch the happy, because life is hard. And
well, it can be, yeah.
And the big reason that people go watch TV or watch movies often is that escape. Not necessarily looking for the realism. How many times have you gone to see a movie, and if it doesn't end happy, people aren't happy.
Right.
Or they feel like,
well, especially if it's romantic comedy. Now, if it's a war movie, they expect, or an action adventure, they expect some, potentially maybe their favorite character will die. But they don't necessarily like it, in the prototypical, boy meets girl, boy loses girl, boy gets girl. And, this is kind of one of the things that I struggle with, is because we have all the, we have the fairy tales, we have the rom-coms, whatever the most recent one is, and then they get married, and then you never see anything, and then the next thing you see is, War of the Roses, where people, where people are splitting up. And that's where I struggle. It's like, no, because I tell people, if you're in a good relationship, from the outside, it's boring.
That's probably so.
It's like, okay, so let's, what are the, some of the other reality shows about, the celebrity, the celebrity couples that are locked away in the mansion, the married couples that are having trouble. I've only seen the ads for that. I've never actually watched one because I think it would just, I'd break out in hives or something. But, it's like, why are you with these people? But I guess that's part of the challenge, is that we don't really know, because, it's not interesting. What's the plot twist?
It would have to be a change in cultural thinking, that there needs to be some kind of magic for something to be wonderful.
Yeah.
Like, there has to be, in movies, you always have the boy meets girl, and it's an instantaneous connection. It's that, that spark. And how true to life is that, even, or are people passing up opportunities because they're expecting, that TV or movie magic that they've been exposed to, and that's what they're used to, instead of, what could be a really great fit or match for them.
Well, and I think that's really true, and I always hope that my husband never listens to this program, and I don't think he does. But, my husband isn't that much taller than me, and in my ideal world, he'd be 4 inches taller than me. But I wouldn't trade who he is for those extra 4 inches. I just wouldn't. And, so I think part of it is actually what you're talking about, is letting go of these fantasies about who we should be with, and really opening ourselves up to who's actually a good match, which is what you're talking about the real.
And I think it's also a challenge in today's society to be vulnerable. We're not often taught that's a good quality to have, because in vulnerability there's risk, and you could get hurt. And often what's put out there is the person who cares less is the person who is winning somehow in a relationship, when that's obviously the furthest thing from the truth. And I think people would be a lot happier if they allowed themselves to be vulnerable, because it's in those moments of vulnerability and connection and really learning about each other and caring about what the other person is going through and having those empathetic moments that I think are really great relationship can be built and evolve and be better than what's shown as a fairy tale. That's the thing, is I think that the realness, the Mr. or Miss Real, it's invariably better than a fairy tale could ever be.
Well, and I love your bringing up the vulnerability, because that's one of the things I always ask people. Yeah, I said, what's the first thing that comes into your mind when I say the word vulnerable? And probably about 90% of the time what I get back is weak. You know, it's weak to be vulnerable. And I'm going, no. You have to be incredibly strong to open yourself up in the way that people say they want to be in a relationship. You can't have the fireworks and the intimacy and this wonderful connection if you're not willing to open yourself up. And you know, you said something about, you know, being hurt. And the problem is if I love you, you now have the power to hurt me.
Mm-hmm.
Because I love you. Whether you're my friend or my child or my partner, if I care, I mean, the people who we love the most have the most power to hurt us. So what, do we stop loving? I don't think anybody would really want that. Unless it's
exactly.
You love me and I don't, like you were talking about, you love me but I don't have to love you. Which again is like, yeah, that's not going to work.
Yeah,
but yeah,
that's,
I mean,
that's definitely a problem.
So, do you see that? I'm always curious because my children, I actually don't have children. I have adults, but this, I'm finding that, you know, with all of the internet and social media and quote, reality, unquote, TV shows, I'm wondering what kind of, in growing up with the Disney princesses, what kind of messages, what do you see in the struggles with young people having in relationships today?
I think there's definitely the something is better out there. The grass is always greener. If you can sign right back onto whichever various online dating free website, you're not necessarily giving the chance of the relationship or dating situation you're in. And I've done that too. I've had instances where I was lining up like 3 dates a week. And I realized that I just wasn't having the chance to get to know anybody, or maybe understand what I was really looking for. I also think with social media, there is an extreme pressure perhaps to define things before you're ready to, or it's a very weird, bizarre, like when is it okay to tweet about somebody that you're with? What does Facebook...
Yeah, when do you change your relationship status
exactly.
on Facebook?
Doesn't matter. It's okay to post photos with the person. I mean, it adds a whole different level of anxiety. You go out, you're like, okay, we took a picture. Can I post this? Is the other person okay with it?
Right.
And if they're not, then you're like, oh no, what does that mean for dating? Does he or she not like me? And these are things that it was never an issue before, or texting. If somebody takes 2 hours to get back to you on text, what does that mean? I think we're just a whole culture of extremely anxious people dating out there right now. So there's definitely struggle in that, and the availability of potentially, is this, you know, the person, or is there somebody else? Because it's so easy to find somebody else.
Well, and I worry because, you know, it's interesting. I was having a conversation with my daughter who's 19. I won't have a teenager by this time in 2 weeks. but she was commenting on, you know, why I hadn't made dentist appointments for her recently. And I said, well, because you're an adult. And she goes, yeah, but that means I have to talk on the phone to somebody. And I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, if you can't even make a dentist appointment with somebody, how are you going to be involved in a romantic relationship? Like, But I see this all the time about, oh, I don't, you know, it's the prototypical joke of the bunch of people, you know, a bunch of young people sitting in the same room and they're texting each other. It's like, wait, they're sitting right next to you. Stop.
Exactly. And it's if you go on a date, if you text them first, are you being too eager by texting them first? It's like this whole
right.
code of new rules that really aren't rules and probably shouldn't exist and don't really matter, because if you're with somebody that's interested in you and you're interested in them, it doesn't matter who texts first and all of that shenanigans. But it makes things a lot more, scary, I think, than, or nerve-wracking, I should say, than, my sister's 12 years older than me, than when she was dating. It seems a lot different.
Yeah. I think I'm going to admit, you know, I've been with my husband, it'll be 30, well, we've been together 31 years, we'll be married 30 in May, and every time he goes on a business trip, I tell him, tell the pilot to be careful, because I don't want to do this again. I think it was a whole lot different, as difficult as it may be for anybody. I think it's gotten a lot more high pressure now, because everybody's under the microscope. And, you know, one of the things that you said in your piece was that if what someone is looking for is a fairy tale, there will never be satisfaction. What prompted that comment? Because I find that a very, you know, we're all looking, part of the reason why I titled the show what it is because the happily ever after is just the beginning. Now you got to figure out how to make it work longer than 3 months. But it's to fill that informational void. But what do you mean if someone is looking for a fairy tale, that they're never going to be happy?
It's that always looking for perfection. And perfection mm-hmm. inherently doesn't exist. So, I mean, it's kind of, it's a dead end in and of itself. You're constantly looking for Mr. or Miss Perfect. They're never a human being. A real person
right.
is never going to match up to any kind of criterion. And again, you can be counting yourself out of a potentially wonderful situation just because you had mentioned your husband's, you know, not as tall as you thought maybe you had always wanted.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe somebody has blonde hair and you always thought you would end up with a brunette. And if we're going by such narrow parameters like that, you're always going to be kind of discontent. It's the same with if you're searching for perfection within yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I've dealt with being a perfectionist with my writing, and at some point, I think a lot of creative people deal with problems with perfectionism. At some point, mm-hmm. you have to let it go. There's only so many drafts you can write. If you're painting, there's only so many changes you can make. If you're recording music, there's only so many, you know, takes you can do. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you'll just keep doing it over and over again. At some point, you have to be like, wait a second, what am I doing? And that's why I think it's important to keep things in perspective of what you really, truly want, what's really, truly important that would provide, the optimum happiness in your life.
Right, and I think you make an really interesting point about letting go of perfect, because I think that's what a lot of people think about relationships, too, is that if we run into a bump in the road or a disagreement, which is inevitable, by the way, then something's wrong with the relationship. It's like, yeah, no, that's just real life. I love you talking about, you know, meeting somebody who, you know, the look on their face when you tell them you've never seen their favorite movie. It's like, you have no idea what they're talking about. It's like, what? You know, but to me, I mean, but that then begins a conversation, because then I get to share that with you. I get to bring you into my favorite movie and tell you why I like it.
I think it's interesting as far as communication goes, too, that everybody has squabbles with their family members and siblings and, like, little squabbles with friends. And you don't blink twice with that. But if there's any kind of conflict whatsoever, it seems that people in relationships tense up instead of just talking through and communicating
mm-hmm.
through it. And I think a lot of troubles lie in that land of miscommunication and not feeling comfortable to discuss things through and really ask how the other person is genuinely feeling. And that falls under the feeling that everything should be perfect. And if there is any tiny slight, you know, thing off, that's wrong. And that's not
right.
The case at all. That's life.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, because in no other aspect of our lives do we ever hold that same thing. I mean, whatever job you have, there's going to be some part of it you don't like. It could be your dream job, but there's still going to be some part of it that's like, ick. You know, you're talking about your family members. I could love you to death, but this drives me crazy. You know,
yeah.
Or our kids, you know. You know, I love you forever, but that behavior better stop right now. I don't stop
exactly.
Loving you because you throw a temper tantrum. So, Sammy, thank you so much for joining me. Can you tell people where they can find your writing? Because it's really, really good.
Oh, thank you. On Facebook, I have a page for my dating column. It'd be facebook.com/GMP. Dating in the Digital Age. If you go to the Good Men Project website, www.goodmenproject.com, my column comes out every Tuesday at, I'm thinking of time zones here, 10:30 Eastern, 11:30 Central time zone. And then I'm also on Twitter, and my username is SamiDan19.
Yes, and so definitely follow Sammy. And listeners, while rom-coms and fairy tales may be great diversions, they really don't much resemble real life if you've been listening to this conversation. And the thing is, to have a great and lasting relationship, you need to be able to deal with real life. My relationship with my husband started with me making a crack about vegetarians, not knowing that he was one. And luckily for me, he laughed and fell in love with me anyway. And I think maybe part of the reason why he fell in love with me was because I was willing to be so forthright about my opinions. So as we've been talking about, a real relationship is messy and funny and frustrating and wonderful. And if that's what you've got, then celebrate. If that's what you want, then you might want to let go of the fantasy fairy tale once and for all. So join me next week when my guest, Dr. Kelly Flanagan, will be talking about marriage and millennials. So until then, stay loving.